as we start the new year 2019 by speaking to a variety of citizens of different ages and backgrounds about their hopes for the coming year. Surprisingly, those we spoke with all raised an issue that many people have been reluctant to talk about publicly until recently: climate change. Our next guest is several decades younger than those you just heard from.
Hello, I'm Lucas Bliley. I'm a high school student at Ames High.
You've been in here before to record. What did you record here at KHOI?
So I've done a variety of things. In the past, I read my book on air, The Scavengers, on the community bookshelf. I was part of the election guidebook for young voters, 3 or 4 episodes of that. And I also came in a couple other times for the Fort Kids and also to reflect on the election of 2016, the morning after.
Okay. Well, this is a different kind of morning after. This is the first day of 2019, and we're talking to people about their hopes for the year. So that's where we'll start with you.
Some of my hopes for this year are to start to see some of the climate action I envision happening. And I'm pretty hopeful. So I'm thinking on an individual level, there's a lot of stuff that people can be doing. They can decide as a New Year's resolution that they can carpool more, that they can eat less meat is a huge one, less red meat especially, that they can stop buying from companies that are polluting the environment. And there's a lot of that with the fashion industry. So moving away from fast fashion and towards more ethical brands. So all these things are small individual choices, but I'd like to see them happen on a larger scale. And I think it's, for a lot of them, it's a win-win situation. If you're buying fast fashion clothing, you're not getting high-quality clothing. If you're eating a lot of meat, that has health impacts. If you're not carpooling, you might be getting somewhere a little faster, but you're not having that time to talk to your friends or talk to somebody you maybe don't know that well and create that relationship. So those are some of the individual things. But as a town this year, I also hope that we do a few things. The first is the city council voted on October 16th to discuss the prioritization of climate change. And so once they establish that, we will know where the city stands, and then we can start working on something. And I hope to see that in the form of a climate action plan, where we are taking an inventory, and the city council also is looking into taking an inventory of all the carbon emissions for the city. So getting that done and then starting to create a plan for how Ames can transition away from fossil fuels. And I'd like to see 100% renewables by 2050, as the IPCC report said is what is needed.
You're just one individual high school student. How do your peers feel?
So actually, that's interesting that you ask. So earlier this month, we did a petition that we're going to take to the city council and to the school board. And this petition was through a group called CAUSE, which is a high school club, and it stands for Citizens Actualizing and Understanding Sustainable Environments. Kind of a mouthful, but it makes a nice acronym, CAUSE. And so we did just a week-long drive where we were asking students to sign, and we got 613 signatures, and they were signing that, yes, they think climate change is a problem, that it's man-made, and that the city and the school have some role to play in finding solutions.
So, and you stopped the petition after just a week.
Well, we were actually kind of burning out. We were going around asking people, and just were like, okay, after a week, we got 613. Like, maybe we could get more, but 613, that's a huge amount. And I think that'll have the impact we desire, which is just to show that, yes, we're, as students, we care about this issue. Are we able to, you know, solve global warming? No. But are we able to convince our local officials that we should be reducing emissions and maybe thinking about some other solutions? And that was that. I think that message was conveyed.
Well, on a personal level with your classmates, are you finding that they are gravitating toward your other solutions, for example, carpooling, not eating so much meat, so forth?
Yeah, I've seen a trend with some people. And I think the people who are really motivated to do something are the people who have looked into like how dire the situation is. And I think for those people, climate change is less of like a political issue as like an existential crisis. When you are growing up, you have all these hopes and dreams, and the biggest thing standing in the way of that is we might not have a habitable planet in 200 years if we continue what we're doing. We won't in 50 years we will have a planet with a lot more war and famine and climate refugees, and that's the future. You know, like that's what we have to look forward to. That really weighs on somebody. I sort of gave up my passion of creative writing because, well, I gravitated away from creative writing because I didn't think that was going to be impactful enough. If I'm just writing fiction, which is what I like to do, and living in my own little world, like that's great, but that's not what the world needs. And so just that's an illustration of how I don't feel like I really have a choice with my future. I think I have some obligation to do something about this.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to say?
I want to make sure I'm vocalizing the fear of young people the best I can, because I've seen this. People are really scared, and it's kind of disguised behind this business as usual. We go to school every single day. We all talk about our college plans and where we would hope to go, and we're all talking about the careers we hope to have. But kind of in the background of that is this reality that, I mean, we're talking by 2050, we're going to start seeing some of these effects that are really disastrous. I mean, we're still going to be working and trying to have a normal life, but it's not guaranteed like it was guaranteed some past generations. The only thing I can think that's somewhat similar is like the threat of like nuclear war during the Cold War. That was like either it happened or it didn't. This is like this inevitable thing on the horizon that keeps coming. And then year after year, we see, you know, more apathy towards dealing with it, more countries not taking responsibility for like their part. The U.S. is probably the biggest example of that. The other thing that I'm hopeful about, this is covered a lot in a book called A Climate of Hope, and it's by Michael Bloomberg and Karl Popp. And Michael Bloomberg is considering running in 2020. He's a former Republican, but he would be running under the Democratic ticket, and he would be pushing action against climate change. I always have to clarify that. But his stance on it is that business, cities, and communities are what are going to lead the fight against climate change. It's not going to be countries agreeing, because as we've seen at the last COP24, some, you know, optional things. But what he was saying is that cities have a vested interest in getting rid of coal-fired power plants because they pollute the air, they cause health problems, they cause asthma problems. And those are real tangible things that people can see, that if their community switches to solar, you know, it's much cheaper than coal. It's competing to be cheaper than natural gas. Since that's now a reality and cities have that option now, we're going to see them switch. Because nobody wants a dirty coal-fired power plant when there's this other option. And, of course, they have to supplement it with something because, you know, the sun doesn't shine all the time. And they've got to do some other innovative things. But they're willing to do it. And there's a town in Texas, Georgetown, Texas, that just switched to 100% renewables. But the last two elections, I think in 2016 and in 2012, they're a completely Republican county. They voted for Trump and they voted for Romney. But they're still super on board for renewable energies because it makes more sense. They were able to sign contracts where they had a price guarantee for 25 years. But with coal, natural gas, you can't do that because it fluctuates all the time. And I look at the U.S., which with the journalists being killed in Turkey, you know, and Saudi Arabia being to blame, we couldn't do anything about it because we're tied to them for oil. You know, if we switch to renewable energies on a large scale, that frees us up as a country to pursue whatever our actual genuine interests are. We don't have to worry about, are we going to make Saudi Arabia mad? Are we going to make these other oil-rich countries mad? And I see that as a great future. So A Climate of Hope is not that unrealistic if we start the shift now in a big way and we take advantage of the technology we have. So I've been increasingly hopeful, with even just in the last couple of months, that something big is going to happen, and not because concerned with protecting the planet just because the planet is good. It's going to be because it's going to make money. It's going to make people money to switch to renewables. And I think that's kind of a sad truth, but I'm excited that we're at a point where the technology is there so that that's a possibility. And I think we're going to see that.
As we wind up our